Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. This morning is part three of our series, The State of the Black Church. We're going to cover a host of areas, and I have three very knowledgeable guests in the studio to help me ferret through some of the tough questions regarding the so-called Black Church and the many challenges it faces. Yep, a very provocative discussion on the state of the Black Church here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Joining me this morning is Radio One's the lovely Miss Melanie Pratt. Of course, Melanie is heard Monday through Friday from 2 to 7 p.m. and on Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. here on Praise. Melanie has spent her life in gospel, from singing it to marketing it to working with and interviewing a bevy of nationally recognized gospel artists. She is the founder and CEO of GospelFlavor.com and is an ordained elder. Also joining me is singer, writer, composer, and producer, Mr. Christopher Gray, host of The Gray Spot here on Praise. Chris' show can be heard every Sunday from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Also joining me is Mr. Be Encouraged himself, Pastor William Becton. Of course, William Becton is a singer, writer, producer, and gospel artist whose hit song, Be Encouraged, as well as a bevy of other hits, propelled him to the top of the charts a decade ago. Pastor Becton is the host of The William Becton Show here on Praise on Saturday morning from 10 to 2 p.m. and Sunday from noon to 2. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, Ron, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Well, I am so glad that you are here to talk about what could potentially be a controversial subject. We are working on part three of our series, The State of the Black Church, and I'm excited to have you guys here, primarily because you are intricately involved in the music industry. So I wanted to make sure that as we continue this particular series, that I get some perspective from those folks who are involved in the industry. Melanie, let me get your thoughts about the state of the Black Church. In some quarters of our community, the feeling is that the Black Church is somehow abdicating its spiritual and social mandates for a message that seems to be more tailored toward vanity and celebrity and prosperity. What are your thoughts?
It's tough. I think the Black community is really dealing with the same challenges that people in general are dealing with. There's additional stimuli with social media, with entertainment, with multimedia, and it presents the same challenges to the church that it does to people as individuals and as communities. I do believe that the church is not homogenous, just like people and communities of people are not. There are churches that are dealing with social ills. There are churches that are not enticed and confused and focused on prosperity only. And then again, you know, the message of prosperity was rooted in a history of us feeling like we had to be poor to be holy, which isn't true either. So I think, you know, sometimes the extremes come out of trying to correct and fix an original problem. There's a lot going on, and certainly the church needs to step up, just like individuals need to step up and individuals make up the church. So I think if we begin with checking ourselves individually as members of church, then we can begin to make a turnaround.
I'm going to take an opportunity to read something, and I want to get your response. It says, "The Christ of whom we sing gives us stuff. Intangible stuff like love, joy, peace, and hope. Tangible stuff like family, friends, food, and shelter. I do not disparage these good and necessary gifts, nor the gracious giver, but much of what I hear and often say about Christ sounds transactional. Christ seems to be praised and worshipped because of what we can get from Christ." Give me your thoughts about that. Do we, particularly the Black Church, are we too obsessed with materialism wrapped up in prosperity? Give me your thoughts.
Well, you know, I've said we've had a conversation, Ron, in this area many times before.
Yes, sir.
Just hearing that sounds like a perspective of church from our culture. The problem is the church is a universal entity. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times our culture affects our perception of church, and it should be the other way around. Church mm-hmm. should affect our culture.
Right, right.
That didn't resonate to me until I traveled to Ghana and Kwapo State, Nigeria. I saw the kingdom from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I saw people doing much more with little. And we do so little with much. And it changed my concept of ministry. It changed the way I preached. It changed the way I taught the gospel. Mm-hmm. It definitely changed my music ministry because I went into a church that didn't have any windows that where people walk miles around to come. And when I preached there, they wanted the essence of the gospel in its purest form. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They wanted everything that I had to offer. And I must have preached about 2 hours in the heat, and they still wanted more.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't about parking. It wasn't about child care. It wasn't about...
stuff.
No, it had nothing to do. It had to do with the power of the gospel preached, demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the people would have stayed all day for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then when I returned to see how little we do with so much, mm-hmm. it breeds a frustration. That's when I took a sabbatical from the gospel music industry then. And shortly thereafter, I relocated to Charlotte to pastor. But that's a problem, and that's one of the major problems that we have in Christendom today, is that we're looking at the wrong things.
Yeah, yeah.
We're looking at buildings. Mm-hmm. We're looking at facilities. You know, I speak with pastors all the time, and that's the predominant thing on their mind. But it's funny that the first pastor of the first New Testament church, interesting because he's the actual CEO of the church. They call him Christos Christ, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One. He didn't have a building.
Right, 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 right.
In fact, one of his first major sermons, he rented Peter's boat.
Right.
And preached from the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
So it begs to, you know, I beg to challenge a lot of philosophies that I hear today, but I'm known as a rebel, so I'm just going to pass the torch to my brother Christopher Gray, who can illuminate another perspective of it, because yeah. You'll get me out here in the middle of the water sinking.
Well, Chris, has the gospel, the transformative nature of the gospel been obscured in some way by celebrity and by materialism and by what God can give us as opposed to that transformative power of the word itself?
Absolutely. In a lot of ways it has. And I think that we've got to make sure that we get back to Christ, mm-hmm. God, rather than a lot of materialistic things. Of course, Becton mentioned, you know, cars and the houses. And of course, we are to be prosperous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But I think we've got to understand that as it relates to church, Christ, Jesus, God is the reason why we really go to church in the first place, to
right.
give him worship. You know, that thing of trying to, well, I'll do for God if God do for me, that's craziness, you know, because God wakes us up every morning. He gives us brand new life every morning, mm-hmm. even when we screwed up the night before. You know what I mean?
Even in the week before that.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even when we've made mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, God's grace and his mercy continues to just wake us up, give us the activities of our limbs, and keep us moving mm-hmm. every day. So he's already doing more for us than we're doing for him anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So we can't even compare, try to be like, well, God, if you do this for me or get me out of this, I'll serve you more. What are you talking about?
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I think it has to be more about Christ and get away from, you know, some of the other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Right.
All these other things will be added.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If we put our focus, but a lot of times we want to seek the things,
mm-hmm.
and God help me get the things. But if we seek God, the things will come.
Well, and that's one of the issues that that I wrestle with when we look at the panoply of issues regarding the prosperity ministry or the prosperity gospel. And that is we inverse that particular scripture, and it's all about the materialism. It's all about the stuff, and then it's about seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we get wrapped up in that kind of thing, I think we send send a mixed message, particularly to the world, because mm-hmm. there is no differentiation between the world and the church in some people's perspective. Mm-hmm. Melanie, do you think the messages like the prosperity gospel, which is so pronounced as a message, that it's overshadowing the core principles of the gospel, namely the good news of Jesus?
Definitely. In a lot of instances, I think it is. However, I think it's also arguable that part of the good news message of Jesus was that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. And so I think it's a balancing act, and it's one that we have to do better at. And again, given the history of being taught that, you know, the less you have, the more holy you are, you know, it's like we overcorrect it, I guess, is a good way to say it. Absolutely, the core message of Jesus is the message of love and the message of redemption, and it has to be rooted in that. And then in being saved, in being redeemed, then you have the opportunity to live an abundant life, and that one shouldn't overshadow the other. Again, it's a matter of balancing the message and not forsaking the core message of the love of Jesus Christ.
Would you want a spouse that just spoke to you when you were giving her things, but didn't tell you,
yeah,
baby, I love you,
yeah,
or
yeah,
baby, I appreciate you?
Uh-huh.
Those things are a byproduct of the relationship. In other words, God is seeking a relationship. Every now and then, you know, God needs to hear, I'm awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He needs our worship. We were created to dominate the earth, but we were created for fellowship, a koinonia fellowship with God.
Right.
Now, we were created for that purpose. You know, one of the most incredible illuminations from the book of Genesis is that, you know, God created man in his own image and his likeness, in the image of God created he, him, male and female. But he created man for this koinonia fellowship. And then mm-hmm. he gave man the authority or the exousia, the influence to dominate the earth.
Right.
Now, that's a byproduct. That's a gift. That is a byproduct of the fellowship, mm-hmm. the relationship with God. In other words, we can't even do that if we don't have fellowship or koinonia with God. So when we look at Christendom now and we are seeking the things and the stuff that are a byproduct of the relationship, we're inverting the relationship and we're inverting the sequence. Things are not in order.
Mm-hmm.
Order means a proper sequence. The stuff, the prosperity, is not the issue. If you look at every mighty man of God in Scripture, they were wealthy. Okay? Abraham was wealthy. Jacob, Isaac was wealthy. David was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. It's not the money or the thing. They are a byproduct of. So the priority must be relationship. And when the relationship is right, the things follow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, the black church seems to be enraptured, if you will. It's all celebrity driven right now, particularly from the charismatic movement. Any thoughts about that particular movement? And are we being served, particularly when it is a celebrity driven type ministry?
Well, I think that, again, it kind of goes back to materialistic things,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
where people sometimes are drawn to personalities. And, you know, you may find a church to grow sometime just because of a personality more than Christ,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know. And again, we've got to make sure that we get away from personalities and put our attention more on Christ. When you get so deep into a person or a personality, you can be hurt at some point in time,
right,
you know,
right.
And that's why you find churches, you know, they're crying, they're so hurt, they're heartbroken because pastor did this, or mm-hmm, bishop did this, or the minister of music did this. And so you were so into them, you forgot that they are human like you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And you weren't supposed to go to church because of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just one of the tubes in the church that are using to serve. But it really still goes back to being more focused on Christ. And so I do agree that the focus of what people have been doing as it relates to personalities and popular people and stars, if you will. Sometimes we kind of get a little off track with that kind of thing, you know. So you got to put the focus on Christ. Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, it's interesting, you know, because I'm approaching it from a different perspective, having had some celebrity in the gospel music industry and being a pastor. And having pastor now ordained for 11 years and senior pastor for 8, there I understand it from a different perspective. And here again, I think we're putting the cart before the horse, because every pastor has a skill set and a set of abilities that you cannot separate from. You can't separate his personalities, his giftings from his call. They all are encompassed within one individual, which actually defines his demographic or who he reaches. His makeup defines who he reaches, you know. Mm-hmm. So the perspective that I approached that, because when I started to pastor, I did not want people to view me as another gospel artist that was pastoring. No, there are two separate giftings that work in me, the teaching of the gospel and the ability to be able to hear and to transfer illuminations of the kingdom of God in a way that the unlearned can understand and the PhD can understand, and also minister to people in song, are two totally different giftings. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to pastor, I wanted people to focus on the teaching of the gospel, because we know that the word is the backbone of the church. So what I did, Chris, I alienated my music. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, we're not even going to do that, because I don't want you coming to church thinking it's a concert, you know, because, I mean, I don't want to pass a church of ignorant believers. You know, I want, when the Jehovah's Witness knock on the door, I want my people to be able to defend the faith.
I,
when they're presented with difficult issues in life, I want them to be able to respond with the word of God and correctly, rightly divide the word of God as it relates to the situation. But what I found while the church grew and the people grew, what I found was I was still alienating a part of the demographic that God had preordained for me to have, because while I did possess the celebrity, quote unquote, whatever that is, that and a cup of coffee will give you gas too. But while I did have that, I totally pushed that aside, which was not the intent of God.
Right.
The intent of God was, listen, I gave it to you, didn't I? Use what you have. That's part of defining what I want to do in your life. But I understand what Chris is saying, in that when you build ministry upon celebrity or tangible or temporal things, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have a temporal, unstable ministry. You're going to have people who are flighty. And if you've noticed, but we are not producing stable building blocks for the church now. We are producing people who are here today and gone tomorrow. Both of my parents gone on to be with the Lord, but they were a part of one church.
Right.
Until they left here. Their son,
and that's a good thing.
Their son was wonderful. A pastor, but they were a part of one church until they left here. Nowadays, folk with you today. I'm with you, pastor. Pastor, oh, I'm with you till the end. And tomorrow, you sneeze wrong. But I'm going down. And we are producing, you know, and the Bible says, as much knowledge is much sorrow. It seems like the more knowledge we get, the more ignorant we.
Well, that is a perfect segue into the next question. It's been several years since the salacious scandal of Eddie Long and the Senate inquiry into the mega churches and their money. Has there been any lasting damage done to the church, particularly the black church, as a result of what we saw a few years ago with Eddie Long, as well as all of the prosperity messages and all of those kinds of things? Any lasting damage done?
Well, I think there are. Well, let me put it this way. I think that because of situations such as that, you know what I mean, there are a lot of people that look at church a little different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I can make a mistake in church and it blow up, you know what I mean? And another pastor can make a mistake in church and it blows up. And those that maybe were wondering and doubting, should I go to church? I'm looking for something, but those church folk, you know, quite right themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know.
There are a set of people, because, you know, I look at life a lot of times, the world is made up a lot of different people, you know, and when I say that, mentalities, you know, the thought patterns are so different. And so there is a group of people, of course, that will look at it and say, okay, well, hey, this happened to this pastor, this happened to this person at church, and it kind of creates a situation, well, I don't know if I want to go, because then, you know, do I go and listen to this pastor? But he might have some issues. We've got to make sure that our focus is not so much on the person, because every person will make some sort of mistake.
And disappoint.
Absolutely. Every. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Bishop, elder, you know, priest. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. You know, you can call them all.
Yeah.
Everybody makes some sort of mistake. So, you know, you got to make sure that your focus is kind of in the right area so that you won't let the mistakes of others deter you for what God really has in plan for you.
Well, one of the things that we're certainly going to address is same-sex marriage. But when we look at it in the context of Eddie Long, because I hearken back to the moments where he was so vitriolic. It was a visceral reaction to the idea of homosexuality. Yet the accusation against him was so salacious. And so when we look at the image of the church and we look at those who are the standard bearers of the gospel, and then the hypocrisy is exposed, it turns a lot of folks off.
Yeah, but Ron, character and integrity, I mean, let me just interject this again. You probably picked me on the right day.
Go ahead.
You concerned about the plumber who comes to your house to fix the plumbing, whether or not he abused his wife, whether or not he paid his tithes, whether or not he paid his traffic tickets? Are you concerned with the guy who comes to fix your car when you call AAA and he's told, you're not concerned about those issues or how they live their life or anything? You're not even concerned about the mailman, what he did.
At that immediate moment, I may not be, but if the information was available, then I would have some questions before they came to my house.
My point is, I hear that, but at the end of the day, you're more concerned about what's going on in your house.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting it fixed so you can have a wonderful evening with your wife. Okay? Because if that doesn't get fixed, it's going to be trouble in paradise.
Go ahead, bro.
I understand the standard of the gospel needs to be upheld, but Chris had a marvelous point. Every man of God in Scripture had an issue.
Yeah, yeah. Okay?
Everyone. Moses was a murderer. Abraham, I like to say he was the first pimp in Scripture. Abraham allowed his wife to be pimped by Pharaoh. Bible says Pharaoh entreated Abraham for Sarah. We know David's story. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, but you read Ecclesiastes and you want to second guess that. So every man of God has had issues.
Is it to excuse the behavior?
Do not misunderstand.
Sure.
No, I am not saying there is an excuse. I am not covering up, because God has a way of dealing with every issue in our life. But this is what I'm saying. What David said about Saul is a profound statement. When he said it, and it's a profound statement now, touch not my anointing, to do my prophets no harm. When we start to ostracize pastors, we have to understand that we did not call them. We did not give them their gift. We are not even going to give them their reward. But the person who did authorize the gift, the person that did call, is only the one who can stand in complete judgment of that individual. Now, are we to hold them to standards? Of course. We read in the Scriptures concerning the role of an elder and the qualifications of elders and things of that nature. But and I'm not defending any man of God. I'm definitely not doing that. I'm not defending any action, because we have an obligation to deal and handle sin in an appropriate manner. But I'll close with this statement. I remember one of my good friends in the music industry, I think I shared this with you before in an interview, was MC Hammer, and when he filed bankruptcy, we both were doing a date in Columbus, Georgia some years ago, And late night talk shows, you know, found, you know, they used his situation as fodder. MC Hammer files bankruptcy. Everyone's cracking jokes about that. You even see a couple of commercials coming out with MC Hammer filing bankruptcy. And Hammer was probably one of the most intelligent people that I've ever had an opportunity to meet and spend time with. And I very much value his relationship. But the point is this. People file bankruptcy every day.
We don't
talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know folks that file bankruptcy. But when Hammer filed bankruptcy, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm saying, well, wait a minute. Isn't it the same standard? The standard is he was a celebrity. Okay. He was a target. And so when you have people in high celebrity, they make mistakes just like folks on the bottom end of the totem pole. But the higher you are, the more everybody will jump in and say, oh my God, didn't your grandmother just, didn't your father just file bankruptcy?
Yeah, it's like now the big deal about the new baby everybody talking about.
Yeah.
Now there's babies born every day.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For some reason, this baby
is
all on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know. And so again, you know, we're not condoning that. No, that has to be dealt with. But let me
interject this question though. I mean, the scripture you talked about in terms of not touching the anointed, some would interpret that to be a physical altercation. But I think more importantly, many pastors have used that particular scripture to avoid or to stave off any criticism or holding them accountable for their actions.
No, I mean, it was a physical altercation, but David rebuked his people for the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Of even attacking Saul.
Right.
Okay. And so whether it be a physical altercation, because Jesus spoke about killing people with your words. And I'm speaking more so from the standpoint of the hypocrisy, because if we have all these, if I can identify with you, I guess here's the best example. And the Holy Spirit just brought it back to my memory concerning Abraham and the situation with Sarah. He committed that sin twice. He was entreated by Pharaoh for Sarah, and then later on in the scripture in Genesis, he was entreated by Abimelech for the same scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So Abimelech was going to marry Sarah. Pharaoh was going to marry Sarah. Now, the second time it occurred, God troubled Abimelech in his sleep and said, listen, if you touch this woman, I'm going to kill you. And Abimelech told God, hey, but he told me he was a sister. He said, I know, but he is a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's astonishing. God says, yes, I understand you dealt wisely with him, but he is a prophet. Now go to him and he will pray for you and I'm going to bless you because he is a prophet. In other words, God deals with his anointing, but it wasn't, I've never seen where a person under authority, when you're under authority, it's only the person that is over you that can offers the correction or has the power or has the ability to correct and or discipline the issues. Not the one under authority that disciplines, but is the one that covers.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke to Abimelech, and that's a very powerful principle that I think, because God said this, it doesn't change. The fact that he made some mistakes doesn't change who he is.
Right. Well, we have just about a minute left in this third part of our series, The State of the Black Church. Let me get your final thought on this particular question. The face of the black church right now, at least black Christianity, is the T.D. Jakes, the Creflo Dollars, and some others. And of course, celebrity is wrapped around that experience. How do we best, in a culture where we all are caught up with celebrity, bring it back to the local level? Because there are pastors and ministers who are on the ground doing the hard work of ministry. So how do we turn that perspective around and give more credence to the individuals who are in the communities doing the hard work?
I don't believe that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that those that are in position to pay and control media, we publicize superstar pastors, but you said the state of the black church or black Christianity. I don't even know if there is such a thing. There is the kingdom of God.
Okay.
Okay?
And the
kingdom of God is alive and going strong.
Mm-hmm.
What's publicized in the media is not necessarily always the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's those who have the ability to hire publicists and to paint the picture to those who follow in that way. Mm-hmm. I think the kingdom of God is going on strong. I believe the kingdom of God has never been hindered. I believe the kingdom of God is still dominating. That's just my small perspective.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is part three of our series, The State of the Black Church. And next week, we're going to talk about some even more controversial stuff. And I am so excited. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Tune in next week as we wrap up our four-part series on the state of the Black Church with my Radio 1 colleagues, Melanie Pratt, Christopher Gray, and William Becton. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.